Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Ah, all right. Had my little sip of honey and tea. We're good to go for another week of the Growing in Grace podcast. Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. I'm the Joel one. He's the Mike one. And yeah, we're going to continue on this week talking about some things that we were talking about last week. But just real quick, this week, kind of a milestone on the Growing in Grace podcast. We've had many of these now because this is 21 years of the Growing in Grace podcast. Feels weird to say that, even though every year, you know, the podcast does get a little older. But I've been a part of some podcasting groups on Facebook, and it's interesting to see many people just starting out, and other people, yeah, I've been doing this a couple years. And then, how long have you been doing yours? Well, 21 years, and it's, wow. I mean, it just, it's pretty cool and pretty amazing that really God has sustained us in this for so long. I've talked about it myself, how I know that I could never do this by myself. So, you know, sustain a podcast, you know, talking, because I'm not a talker, but doing this for so long. So glory to God for that. And thanks to God for, given us this opportunity every week to be an encouragement with the gospel of his love and grace.
Yeah, you know, we're doing this with this back and forth, right? And it comes very natural for us. If I or you were doing this just by ourselves, yeah, I'd probably need notes and that sort of thing. I mean, I'm not really a big note person, but, you know, it is easier when you're just talking by yourself. Some years ago, I was invited to speak at a church. I've been invited at other places too, and it's just not really my thing. But this was more local, and you know, we've attended the church, and pastor asked me, he's a friend of mine, so I had a lot of notes. But here, I hardly ever use them because it's just you and me talking, and most of what we're talking about is just coming from the heart. And so it's been good. 21 years. I'm excited to be able to say that. I don't know why, but the other day I was talking with somebody at work, and I had told them that my wife and I had recently celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, and you know, they're not a lot younger than I am, but they were like, 40, whoa, wow, you know, and it hit me that saying it out loud, all of a sudden it made it real.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
I feel young yet.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, too. I feel, I think both of us have talked about this, where, yeah, our bodies seem to be getting older for some reason, but we feel in our minds and in our hearts, we feel young. And yeah. I think that's one thing that helps to keep this going.
Well, and there's a reason for that. Bodies do get old. And yeah, I mean, you're going to probably experience some of the effects of that. I know I am.
Yeah.
But that, you know, Paul said that your spirit is being renewed day by day. I mean, have you ever stopped to think about when you leave this planet and you perhaps see people that you knew? Take your grandparent, for example, maybe a parent, maybe a great grandparent. And usually I'll bet most of us in our minds are thinking about how we remember them in their later years in life. I know I do, because I didn't know my grandmother when she was younger.
Right.
Right. Well, if I see my grandmother or my grandfather or some friend, somebody who was older when their body died, they're not going to look like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's and I'm not going to look like whatever I think I'm going to look like. It's the body will get older and it will cease to function. But let's not confuse that with who we really are.
Right. Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's some good encouragement there for anybody. I know people deal with a lot of things health-wise and dealing with things on this earth, dealing with things that are going on in the world. But knowing that it's not always going to be like this, and we've got an eternal destiny that, and even as you say, even now, even though things seem to be wasting away, we ourselves are being renewed daily, and it's all because of God's grace. And so that's why it's one reason why we like to focus on God's grace, because a lot of people focus on, well, what's going on in this world or their health issues. And I know it's hard to, you know, not, you know, you're going through stuff. Yeah, you got to deal with it. But at the same time, you can know that God is sustaining you in ways that we can't see. So one thing we asked a few weeks ago was people for comments from our listeners regarding various, maybe some ideas that you had in your early religious life, maybe some doctrines that you were taught, maybe some things that you thought that you've come to see differently, you've come to understand differently. What were some things? My wife had shared that she used to be on Sundays. She would have to read from the Psalms and listen to Christian music only. and back then, when that was happening, Christian music was, we had our local KNWS station was inspirational. So it's not like the contemporary stuff you get now, but even that station back then, like, they wouldn't even play the Coloring Song by Petra. So, I mean, you were really limited in what you could listen to as far as Christian music. But that's something she did. And I've said this before, there were certain radio broadcasts, Christian broadcasts, that I felt I had to listen to. It was bondage that I put on myself in the name of religion. So I've come to find out that I don't have to do those things. So some things, so continuing on with some comments that we got on YouTube, we'll also get to ones from Spotify. Somebody says, where are we? I was taught, and still here to this day, that my life and everything that I have ever done would be played back on a big screen in heaven for all to see. Man, I heard that one too. And I felt so bad. I'm like, oh my goodness, everything I've done, God's going to play that back. And I'm going to be judged for all that stuff. You know, that was my fear. And it produced fear. It didn't help me. All it ever did was produce fear in me. Didn't do anything to help my relationship with God. What about you?
I can totally relate to this. and it comes from a verse or two that are completely misunderstood and taken out of context. But there used to be these, I don't want to say the name of them, but there used to be these comic book tracks, T-R-A-C-T-S, mm-hmm. Comic book tracks. I used those a lot, because somebody shared one of those with me when I was a kid, and that's when I decided I was going to call upon Jesus as Savior. It was because of these tracts. So I would use these religiously and ruthlessly, hand them out constantly, and they were easy for people to relate to because they were just really small little pamphlet comic book things. And one of them was referencing this sort of thing where it shows somebody theoretically without Christ, I guess, and they died and they go up to this judgment throne place, you know, where God is sitting there, large as life, and they're showing your life back. And wow, I mean, it's just all based on fear, right? And it's based on a false premise. I'll tell you one thing, if this were true, we'd be spending the rest of eternity just watching everybody's life back.
Right. Yeah.
How long is that going to take? I mean, even just the highlights or the lowlights. It's just a crazy thing. And it's nothing but rooted in fear. And it's made up. But yeah, I can totally relate to that. But it's so silly. And yet people buy into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's I think it's a fear thing. It's a control thing from many people, from many pastors and people who teach that, trying to keep their congregation in line or whatever. I mean, that's part of it anyway. how about this one? The topic of fasting. I've been to churches where the process has taken on a new life form. My understanding of fasting is basically giving up the physical to attain, and here's a key word for me, to attain the spiritual. As churches make this collective and under the direction of pastors and elders, those in recovery from substance abuse abstain daily, surrendering their addiction to God and benefiting from a spiritual experience. Thank you for your podcast. The thing I would say there is this idea that you can do something physically to attain something spiritually. The truth would be is that we, in Christ, we already have been given all spiritual blessings. Our identity, our spiritual identity is already intact, kind of a little bit like what you were talking about with this big screen playing. It's like, no, everything's already taken care of spiritually. Our identity is solid and secure in Christ. We're not attaining spiritually anything more. God's given it to us already. Anything that if a person wants to fast, see, I'm not against the idea of fasting if a person desires it, but I think you're not going to attain anything spiritual. It's more of a mind thing. So let's just say you're watching a lot of TV, or you're just consumed with social media, or even with food, or anything that has you rather than you being in control of it. If you want to, if you find this might be helpful, it can be helpful for some people to abstain, to fast from something, to clear your mind up, to set your focus on what might be better for you, that kind of thing. Not in a legalistic way, not in a ritualistic way, but just in a way that might be helpful to you. I don't think that fasting is required. I don't think that we gain anything from God, like anything new from God. But I think for some people it can be helpful to refocus. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that, Cap?
I think, Joel, fasting is fine if people want to do it. I think just a lot of people are maybe doing it with the wrong intent. And I think, Paul seemed like maybe he fasted. He didn't really require others to do it. And it's also possible that Paul sometimes was fasting not by choice. Because one time he groups it in with suffering and persecution and maybe was in a place where he just didn't have access to a lot of food at times. But having said that, I think there's a place for it if people want to do it. But, I had something in my book, Joel, called the legalism detector. And the legalism detector was basically people trying to do something to get a response from God instead of resting in his response to them. And so I think if you're doing it for that reason, if you're just trying to get God to move on your behalf because you're giving something up or trying to do something to get his attention, it's one of those topics here where I don't think we're going to take a deep dive into it, because there's different thoughts and different ways to approach it that may or may not always be right. But certainly you kind of said it best. If it becomes something that you're doing just to try to get God to move on your behalf, he's already done that through Christ, and you can rest in that.
Yeah, I think it's a rest thing, as we were talking about a few weeks ago, resting in his grace. What's next here? Keep a short account with God. Oh my goodness. That was one I heard all the time when I was part of a more legalistic gathering of people. So this person says, keep a short account with God. This is something that they went through in their religious experience. I used to be in so much bondage worrying that I hadn't confessed. So this will get into something some other people had said as well. Worrying that I hadn't confessed and asked forgiveness for every sin I had committed. I didn't understand that all my sins were already forgiven and that I was truly made clean. I would worry that I was going to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner too, because that is always emphasized. These are a few. I could make a huge list. I think we all probably could make a huge list too. But so these are some. Yeah, that's a good one, Cap.
We've talked a lot about it on the podcast, so we'll keep it short here today. I'll keep a short account today on this topic. But it's one of the biggest things that set me free when I crossed the grace bridge. That's about all I can say about that, because I also was in that camp. I had been taught that, confess your sins. In other words, God would keep forgiving me over and over again as long as I confess them. Well, what happens when we don't confess them? Then we come up with the blanket prayer. Or as someone else said, they just asked God every night whenever they were praying. And even that, just feeling the need to pray every night, getting down on your knees at the foot of your bed or something like that, that can become a religious bondage too. Mm-hmm. But when they prayed, they also just said, God, just forgive me for anything that went wrong today. Well, that's not very specific.
Right.
So as we've talked about, the forgiveness came through blood, not through our sorrow, not through our regret. It came through blood. And we receive that forgiveness. But guess what? Jesus isn't going to die again. Without the shedding of blood, no remission of sins. It was even under that way, under the old covenant. Well, Jesus became not just a lamb that was slaughtered by Moses, but became the Lamb of God. And so once for all, forgiveness came. And here's the thing. In this new covenant of Jesus Christ, God remembers sins no more. Under the old covenant, there was a constant reminder of sins. That's the contrast. That's the clash. That's as far as the east is from the west. You start heading west, you're never going to be heading east. They just do not meet. And so I would encourage those of you out there to just rest in what Jesus has already done. And if you feel like you've blown it so bad that you need to talk about it, just thank God for his forgiveness.
Yeah. And real quick on this, keep a short account with God. I mean, that it sure sounds good. It's got a religious sounding tone to it. You know what they preach. You got to keep a short account with God, and like that will keep you free from sin. You know, that will keep you from sinning. Well, does it really? I mean, it might act in like kind of taming the flesh, so to speak, temporarily. But our life in Christ isn't about taming the flesh. It's about realizing that we are actually no longer in the flesh, but the Holy Spirit indwells us. We're in the Spirit. And instead of thinking that we need to just keep a short account with God, like naming every sin or coming to him every time something sinful happens or whatever, instead of the focus being on sin, let the focus be on the fact that you are a new creation in Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you and you have been given everything spiritual by God already. And let the focus be on your new identity in Christ and Christ in you and not be on sin. The focus in the church today is sin, sin, sin. And that's where so many of these problems come from. They think, at least in some cases, they think they're trying to help people. They think they're helping people, but really they're making a focus on sin. When, like Petra said, what are you looking for the devil for when you ought to be looking for the Lord? Well, you know, people are looking for sin, sin, sin instead of focusing on Christ. So that, I think, makes a difference in the lives of people.
Got time for one more?
Sure. Let's do one.
Someone says, when I attended the institutional church, the last one they were at, the pastor there said that if we were to be all in, quote unquote, each member should be involved in at least four different ministries. Well, of course, this is in the Bible under the book of Colossians, chapter 6, verse 66. So that, you know, people just kind of throw this stuff out there and it becomes people's religion, because if they don't cling to it, they don't follow through with it, they're going to think God's mad at them.
Yeah. And if they're involved in three ministries and not four, well, then they're feeling guilty. They got to find the fourth one. Or
yeah, you got to do something to make up for that. There's always 25% deficit.
Right. There's always going to be more. That's the thing, religion. There's always going to be more that you have to do. You can. The thing. Oh, let me go a different direction with this. What I've found, what in my life in Christ, what really freed me, what really helped me, was to know that God doesn't make cookie cutter Christians. He doesn't make us all the same. He makes us all different, and that's good. We're not all supposed to go and be involved in this, that, and that, and that. And, you know, the church offers this ministry. The church says you need to be involved in this. It might, something that they offer as far as ministry, might fit you, but it probably doesn't in a lot of cases. But you get to find out from God through your own interaction with the Holy Spirit, Christ in you. You can find out what God does or doesn't want you to be involved with, how he wired you, how he made you to fit into the body of Christ. It may not have anything to do with what some church tells you you have to do. It may, but it in most cases it probably doesn't, because a lot of churches are focused on trying to fulfill their own needs. We need to get this ministry met. We need to do this ministry. We need to have our needs met here in this church, and you're supposed to be here to meet our needs. They won't say it like that, but that's really what they're doing. So what I found is it's nice to be free to just to be who God created me to be, not what anybody else thinks I need to be. So we'll carry on with more of these next week on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.